Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text, St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, when he writes this: "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." This is our text. This Sunday and the following two Sundays, we will be building up to Reformation Sunday. Today, we are taking up the topic of Scripture alone, next Sunday, grace alone, and the following Sunday, faith alone. Scripture alone. Sola Scriptura. Probably sounds familiar to most of you. Those words are written above the door in the back as you enter the sanctuary. They're printed on the front cover of your bulletin, top and bottom, almost every Sunday. Scripture alone. It makes a good slogan, has a nice sound, but why is this phrase so important to us? Where does it come from? What does it mean? What does it mean, not just as an idea, but for life, for your life and for mine? St. Paul would have Pastor Timothy and us know this. Scripture alone reveals our Savior, Jesus Christ, because Scripture alone is inspired by God. I'll repeat that again. Scripture alone reveals our Savior, Jesus Christ, because Scripture alone is inspired by God. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you how it seems to me. It seems that there are many lies out there and many half-truths, which means that there are many liars and many half-truthers. And there are so many people and so many places and even computer algorithms that are trying to tell me what I should hear and what I should think, and sometimes that are trying to give me exactly what they know I want to hear and think, trying to shape us. Often we don't know what to believe. We don't know who to trust. Maybe we can't even trust ourselves. Have you ever felt that way? Our own judgment might be suspect. Remember that thing you used to believe? Remember that purchase, that decision that you thought would be so great? Remember that person you trusted when your gut or your friend told you not to? For St. Paul and Pastor Timothy, and for you, there is a reliable, a trustworthy source for what to believe and on which to build your life: the sacred writings. The sacred writings of the Old and New Testaments. The sacred writings, which Paul tells us, alone are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. This is what St. Paul would wish for us, as he wished it for Timothy today, that we would continue in these writings, remain in Holy Scripture, not depart from these words of God. From whom did you learn the Scriptures? You can thank God for them by name, right now, and in your prayers. Thank God for the parents, the family members, the friends, the godparents, the pastors, the Sunday school teachers, the camp counselors, and the neighbors who put God's word into your hands, who spoke it into your ears, who placed it before your eyes. And who has learned the Scriptures from you? Timothy first heard from his mother and his grandmother a beautiful testimony to the handing on of the faith in a family from one generation to the next. Later, he was instructed by St. Paul, a beautiful testimony of faithful pastors to instruct his people. But what mattered most and what mattered to Paul was not so much the people from whom he heard it. There are plenty of Muslim parents who have taught their children Islam, plenty of Jewish parents who have taught their children Judaism. What mattered most for Timothy was the truth of what he learned, that what he was given from his parents, his mother and grandmother, and from St. Paul was the truth from God himself. The truth there in the Old Testament, which promised and pointed to Christ Jesus our Lord, and the truth as handed down from the apostles and others in the New Testament, those who were eyewitnesses to the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus. Through Holy Scripture and through Scripture alone, we know our Savior, and we are made wise for salvation through faith in him. And what do we know about this Savior? What do we know about this salvation? We know Jesus is the Son of God, born, conceived, and born of the Virgin Mary. We know that this Jesus suffered. Oh, how he suffered. How he hung on a cross like a criminal and died on a Friday afternoon on a hill outside Jerusalem and was buried. And we know he did this because of our sin. He did this because of death which looms over us. He did this because of the devil who you know and I know is like a roaring lion prowling around looking for someone to devour. And we know from the scriptures that this Jesus on the third day rose from the dead in his body and then he ascended on high where even now, right now, he lives and he reigns over us and for our good. And we know he will appear again to judge the living and the dead, and of his kingdom, the kingdom to which you and I belong, there will be no end. What is it that makes Scripture unique? Of course, there is everything I just related about what Scripture says, but also that St. Paul reminds us that Scripture is breathed out by God. It is the very breath of God himself. In the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, he breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, and so it is through the Scriptures that God breathes into us again that same breath of life. The Holy Spirit breathing in the Scriptures, in every word, in every sentence, in every book, that we too may have life. God himself is the source of the Holy Scriptures, of what was written by the prophets and the apostles. They wrote only because they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and not just moved in a general way to write, but moved in a particular way to write these particular words for us. And so what we have in the sacred writings, in Scripture, is the Holy Spirit's own words. Or as we say at the end of the readings, the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, the Gospel of our Lord. This is the good news that he has for us. This is what God would have us know about himself, about our world, about ourselves, and about our salvation. Listen again to what St. Paul said. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. This is not a theory. This is not an idea. This is a reality. On your nightstand, or on your coffee table, or on your shelf, or somewhere in your house, and if you don't have one, see me right after service, and I'll give you one. You have a book that is alive with the life of God himself. You have a book that breathes life into you because it comes from God himself. Where else would we turn? What other authorities would we look to in our life? Well, we have them, plenty of them. Places we turn to, people we tune into, the sources we trust for truth. So what are they? When you want something to feed your life, where do you go? Is it Fox News or CNN? The New York Times or the Wall Street Journal? Talk radio or NPR? And I ask you this, I ask you because I know we turn things on, we tune things in all the time, day in and day out. But which of those sources are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ? Which of those are breathed out by God? Which of them are beneficial for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness? Sometimes, maybe, but all the time? Which authorities in your life are able to equip you for every good work? To me, that question is the kicker, because I find that the things that I often feed myself with, they can equip me for many things, for worry, for anxiety, for fear, for distrust, for anger. But for every good work, does it make you better at loving your neighbor and loving your God? And if we want to know what good works are and what sins are, the place to turn, the most reliable and trustworthy place, is to God's Word. The place to turn so that we can have our lives opened and exposed, so we can see our sin for what it is, and then see our Savior for who He is. Because, you know, if you think your sin is only very little, if you think it is a small thing in the sight of God or toward your neighbor, then you will also think that your Savior is a very small Savior, because there's very little from which you need saving. We can think especially today of questions perhaps that are, or sins that are not acknowledged or questioned in our world. Is abortion sin? CNN? Fox News? Scripture? Where do we turn? Is sex outside of marriage sin? Is drunkenness sin? Is failure to pay one's taxes sin? God determines what is sin, and He is the only reliable criterion of what is right or wrong. Is speaking about our neighbor behind their back sin? God's Word will tell us. And God's Word is there. I think sometimes we're afraid to open it, we're afraid to listen to it, because we don't want to hear what He has to say about us and about our lives. Because we'd rather kind of keep that where it is than have God touch these sore spots and these places that need correction in our lives. No one likes to be rebuked. And I would not say that God loves to rebuke, but God loves for us to know our sin so that He can make known to us our Savior, as He does through Scripture alone, and then trains us in life in Christ, that we might grow in righteousness and in faith before Him, so that we may be equipped, thoroughly equipped, so that we may have everything we need to accomplish what God calls us to do for every good work. Often we want to know what we should do. In the Scriptures, God makes that known to us. What we should do to serve our neighbor in love, because He has also made known to us what He has done to serve us in love, us sinners who cannot save ourselves. There is no other book, there is no other source, there is nothing else in this world that can make a lost sinner wise for salvation. There is no other Scripture, because nothing else has been inspired by God. There is nothing else that is so profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and training in righteousness as what God Himself has spoken and given in His Word. Holy Scripture reveals our sin, and it reveals our Savior. It reveals the way of salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes us known to us in the Scriptures, and it is the Spirit who is at breathing in the Scriptures, and it is the Spirit who is breathing through these means of grace that God has established in the Scriptures, through baptism and through communion and through the Holy Absolution, the very breath of God the very breath of God pumping into our bodies. CPR each and every week for you and me, that we can live and breathe and stand on our feet and do good as God moves us. All because of the scriptures. Can you imagine what life would be like without God's word? Can you imagine what it would be like to not know our God, to not know what is right and wrong, and to not know what God has done about our sin, to live in darkness? But dear friends, we do not live in darkness. We live in the light, for God has made it known to us in the scriptures. And so today, St. Paul again says that we are to continue to remain in, to hold on to these very words, to know the scriptures, for there is nothing better to know than this. Recently, I was reading a little bit about education or listening to something about education, and it was pointed out that years ago, people not only learned their ABCs, but they learned their ABCs by learning God's word. It was the very book that was used to instruct both in faith and in life. What a beautiful way to learn the things of God and the things of this world. So what does it look like to lead a life relying on and trusting in God's word, being breathed into day after day by God himself? It looks like a woman who near the end of life may not remember her own name or the names of her children and grandchildren, but can finish a Bible passage when you begin it. It's like someone who in an Alzheimer's unit may not know anything, but can pray the Lord's Prayer because it has been breathed into them over and over and over again. It looks like the person who in the time of need, or in the time of celebration and joy, begins first by looking in God's word, thanking him, praising him, praying to him. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord my God, the maker of heaven and earth. So as I did at the beginning of September, so I urge and encourage you today to let the scriptures breathe into you, to see nothing in life as more valuable and more important than hearing what God himself has to say. Rather than rolling out of bed and having the first thing that you grab be your cell phone, let it be the scriptures. Rather than turning on the TV or the news when you're eating breakfast, listen to an audio Bible and let God breathe into you. And as I said earlier, if you need a Bible and don't have one, if you want to know more about how to do this, how to live in God's word, come talk to me and ask me for help. Or just pull out the back of the bulletin, the order of daily prayer, with scriptures, with prayers, with a hymn stanza that can be used, so that God can breathe into you morning and evening, day after day after day. Not because you must or you have to, but because God wants this for you and makes himself available to you, and because he wants you to have coursing through your veins the life, the blood, the salvation, the forgiveness of Christ himself, so that you can endure through every hardship, through every trial with God's word, so that you can live not by lies and not by myths, but rather by the truth, by scripture alone. And it is having heard God's word that we are able to wrestle with God like Jacob, to come to God like that persistent widow in the book of Luke over and over and over again. For hearing and knowing God's word, we will be holding on to God's promises, and we can pull his promises back out and lay them before him and say, God, here is what you promised. Now deliver your promise to me, to us, to my loved ones. We know his promises through the word because God wanted to make himself known. He wanted you to know him, not only today, but tomorrow as well, and the day after. And he wanted you to know him for all eternity, so that when Christ comes again to judge the living and the dead, we would hear the judgment from his cross, sins forgiven, and we might live in his presence forever. This is why God has put the scriptures into your hands. It's why he places them into your ears. It's why this was so important in the Reformation when 500 years ago this year, Martin Luther sat in a castle tower and translated the scriptures into the German language, because he was convinced that God speaks to us and has a word that we will hear nowhere else, a word that can make us wise to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And this is the word that is given and spoken to you, Scripture alone. Amen.